Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious and the worthy name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we shall be speaking in relation to His second coming again. We praise God for the privilege of bringing before your heart, as well as mine own, the blessed truth of our Lord's second coming. We have already touched upon the fact within the New Testament particularly, my friend, there are three great subjects, three great eternal facts, and we mention them again very briefly, as we have noted them. The first great subject of the New Testament is that the Son of God came into this world, died upon the cross of Calvary for the world's redemption, then went back to heaven. The second great fact, we read it from the book of Acts chapter 2, the descent of the Holy Spirit from heaven in person to take up His abode upon the earth during the absence of the Lord Jesus and during the present age of the church below. The Holy Spirit is come, and He is still here. The third great fact, which is the theme of our study, is the second coming of the Son of God. And may we emphasize once more before we go further, every one of these truths, they will have a double effect upon the human race. They will bring either blessing for eternity, or they will bring judgment for eternity. Please may I repeat it, with all the emphasis that my heart and soul can give by the aid of the Holy Spirit. The fact that the Son of God came and did the work of redemption for the human race. The fact, though He has gone back to heaven, but He has sent the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin and bring them to a saving knowledge of their sins forgiven. And He is still here. And that the Son of God is coming again. Please let me repeat. These facts, they will have a double effect upon all the human race. There will be those amongst the human family who will be eternally blessed. But sad to state, there will also be the solemn reality of many who will enter into eternal judgment. Oh, my beloved friend, we raise the question again as God would raise it, saying to you, what have you done with my son? God saying to you and to me, what have you done with my spirit? Have you received my son as your savior? Have you listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit? In conviction and regeneration, have you been born again? For when the Lord Jesus comes back, it will not be a question as to what you can do with Him or what you will do with the Spirit. But your heart will be raising the question, what will the Son of God do with me? There are some, and we unfortunately must confess it, and it's in the Word of God, who raise the scoffer's question. You find it recorded in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. They say, where is the promise of His coming? Where is the promise of His coming? My beloved, may I repeat with earnestness and solemnity, there are many today in the world who scoff at the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of God long ago wrote by Peter the Apostle that in the last days this would be so. But what is the answer that the Christian can give and does give to the scoffer's challenge, as Peter has prophesied it? Where is the promise of His coming? But the Christian, he meets the scoffer's challenge by saying emphatically, Jesus Christ our Lord will come again. The believer turns to the definite and the infallible source of information concerning this promise, the Word of God. I would like you to note with me, first of all, briefly and thoroughly as we can, a definite, important passage from the Word of God containing the promise of our Lord's return. Many of the believers will undoubtedly understand and know it. Some of you who may be unbelievers, you may have heard it, but never believed it. But listen to it. We read the words of John 14, verses 1 through 3. The Savior saying to his own disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." My beloved, this is the personal promise of the Son of God himself, the Word of the living God, and the Word of the living Christ, the eternal Son of God. Ah, you may scoff. You may say we have heard it before. But may I remind you from the Word of God, back in the days of Eden's garden, when sin first came into the world, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God promised a Savior would come who would bruise the head of the serpent, that Satan himself, and be the deliverer. Yes, it may have taken 4,000 years before that promised deliverer came to the earth, but he came. You may read the words of David, which were spoken perhaps 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus was born upon the earth. The 22nd Psalm, describing the crucifixion of the Son of God. But you will find that though 1,000 years elapsed, he came and he died upon the cross. You can read the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, which oftentimes we call the crucifixion chapter of the Old Testament, written approximately 750 years before his crucifixion, prophesied by Isaiah long before that he would come and die, and he came. We could quote many other similar prophecies of the Old Testament that have been fulfilled regarding his birth, regarding his life, regarding his death, and yes, even his resurrection. Yes, God kept his word. And those centuries have passed since our beloved and blessed Lord spoke those priceless words of promise, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We thank God the promise is still true. The reason for that promise was this. Jesus was going away back to the Father's house. But he also reveals the certainty of that promise. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." I want you to emphasize those two words, the personal pronoun and the verb, "I will." When God says, "I will," it's a divine determination that will be fulfilled. And here is the eternal Son, equal with the Father, equal with the Holy Spirit, very God himself. And as the Word of God declares, it is impossible for God to lie. As David the prophet wrote, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. And the certainty of his promise, we fully believe. We thank God also in the scripture that our Savior spoke. He told the purpose of his coming for his own, to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ah, beloved, let me repeat with emphasis, though the scoffer may say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Let again be it repeated that from the Word of God, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 was actually literally fulfilled, though perhaps 4,000 years afterward. Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, telling the coming of Christ and his crucifixion. One prophesied 1,000 years before it, the other 750 years, yet they were accurately fulfilled. But may I also add a fact? When the Lord Jesus was upon the earth, though his disciples could not take it in and did not take it in as they should, did not the Lord Jesus say to them again and again, he would die, he would be buried, he would be raised again, and he would come again? My beloved, our beloved Savior did die, according to the Scriptures. Our beloved Savior was buried according to the Scriptures. Our beloved Savior said he would come again. And we believe every word that he has spoken. What a joy to realize this is the promise of our Lord's return. And he will come. Now may I say, for the benefit of those who question the literal fact of his coming again, for I know, even amongst the bodies of professing Christendom upon the earth, there are those who refer to our scripture in John 14 as not referring to a personal return of Christ. And they would substitute by their erroneous teaching that it is only a reference to the death of the human person. My beloved, this scripture is no reference to death at all. There are four passages that refer to the believer's death in the New Testament. Luke 23 and verse 43. Acts chapter 7 and verse 59, where Stephen was stoned to death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. Paul says, better to be with Christ, as well as Philippians 1:23. But when we look at the promise of John 14, verses 1 through 3, it is a promise that he will come himself for his own. This is the promise of the eternal and the blessed Son of God. Let me quote his words. My unsaved listener, let them sink in. My believer, fellow believer, let them come into your heart with comfort and blessing. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. My beloved friend and listener, will you be there? Will you be there when he comes? Will he come for you? Father, may the Holy Spirit take the word and sanctify it for eternal blessing to all. Amen.